I'll be reading from Acts chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. That's Acts chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business." Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one. We're always thankful to assemble with one another to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for these opportunities. We're thankful for all who help and serve with the readings and the prayers and such things. There's many things to talk about this morning, and I'm probably going to miss something, but that'll be okay. But certainly our wedding workshop that is coming up at the end of the month, we will try to have that event out this afternoon on Facebook, so please share it around, because this marriage workshop is really not only for us internally here at the church, but really to outreach into the community. Many times if you look at marriage workshops, I think I saw one at Jackson's Mill just a few weeks ago that was being advertised. There's big money to bring somebody in for a weekend and to come in and speak. And we're offering this free to the community. And a lot of times people pay big money to go off to these things, and we're trying to offer something here at the community, right down the road here. Certainly, we'll be connected to it, but any time the Lord's Church offers a service to the community, it offers an opportunity for evangelism. And it doesn't mean that evangelism has to happen that day, but what happens is you make connections. You develop a relationship. The community gets to see that you're trying to do something good to improve the community, and there's a lot of individuals around here that believe what we believe about marriage. There's a lot of individuals. And it's a service that we can offer the community. Sarah and I plan on attending, and I know that we have the support of the congregation is starting to get behind us. We want you to share this around. Share it on Facebook, share the flyers. If there's somebody that you know, certainly. And Rick has expressed that this is open, really, to all ages. I know that John and Sue have planned on attending. So we are open, and Rick is open to really all individuals that are interested in this. If there's a young couple that is thinking about engagement or are engaged, he said they are welcome as well. So it's kind of really this open service that is trying to be offered by Sandyville Church of Christ here to really get the word out about, you know, good biblical marriage and how we can have better biblical marriage. So certainly that's an opportunity here for our congregation, but we want to spread the word, and perhaps the Lord's kingdom's borders can be increased by trying to do services for the community. Also, our Tuesday class is coming close to an end with the time change. We have about two classes left. I'll be heading into Zephaniah, and so if you want to attend that, certainly you can attend that. And we have What Say You this evening, and Brother Carl and I will be teaming up on that, and certainly come back this evening and hear some words from Brother Carl. So hopefully I didn't forget about something, but I probably did. That's just part of it. But I think there's a lot of positive momentum here at Sandyville. And certainly I can feel it but there's a lot of things that have been worked on that are really starting to come to fruition. There's a lot of things that we've been working on program-wise, reaching out to the community. There's a lot of things that are starting to, that we started working on at the beginning of the year that are now manifesting. And there's a lot of positive momentum. And certainly when I think about that marriage workshop, I do just want to say just for a moment, there's no way that that comes to fruition without Shane and Jody. They have really done amazing work behind the scenes on this. And I think it's really a positive thing when we think about the church and how we work together to try to accomplish something. But certainly Shane and Jody have worked on this very hard. I have kind of been hands off. They have done such terrific work with lining things up. They've had meetings and things with Rick, and also our elders have been involved in that, but a lot of good work. Nothing is accomplished with just one, and certainly we're thankful for them, and certainly the congregation as a whole as we kind of try to support this effort coming up in March. If you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 6, we have the New Testament church, and really we have the New Testament church starting in Acts chapter 2. And we see that the church is growing, and the church is being very successful. And then we kind of hit Acts chapter 6, and I would express it as the church is running into some problems. And you know what? The Lord's church, I think as long as the Lord's church is around, which I believe will be to the end of time, at least we'll always have the theme. God's word will always be here. Whether people follow it or not, that's sometimes a different story. But we'll always have the theme. I think the Lord's people will always try to unify on God's word and certainly build up. But we have the church in Acts chapter 2 established. In Acts chapter 6, the church is starting to run into problems. And you know that the Lord's church is going to run into problems. As long as there's human beings, there's going to be problems. And certainly we see here some problems. I think some of the problems we see in Acts chapter 6 are good. They're good problems. We see the church is growing and flourishing. And then we see some problems that need to be addressed because of the growth. You know that when the church grows, it leads to some problems. And those have to be addressed. And what we see in Acts chapter 6 is we see the church, the Lord's church, Christians, dealing with problems. Some good problems and some challenging problems, but problems that need to be addressed. So what we want to look at this morning is Acts chapter 6. I think we're going to see a pattern here, a pattern that we could duplicate is if we do what the New Testament church does when problems come up. And we see some problems that are coming up in these first few verses. If you're not open to Acts chapter 6, that's where we're going to be spending most of our time here. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We see in Acts chapter 6 that there is some good things going on with the New Testament church. The New Testament church is being successful. They are multiplying. They are growing. And certainly that is something that you would want to have. And because of that, I think that there's a little organization issue that needs to happen. Is that as the church is growing, we see that widows are actually being neglected. Now, when you see these two groups here, when it says Hebrews and Hellenists, really we're talking about Jews. We're talking about Jews that speak Hebrew, the Hebrews, and we're talking about Jews that speak Greek and the Hellenists. So we kind of start to see the diversity in the Lord's church. And the Lord's church is diverse. We see in Galatians chapter 3, it starts rattling off what makes up the Lord's church. It says slave and free, male and female, Jew and Greek. The church is made up of diverse individuals. And certainly, as we have the New Testament church growing here, we have a lot of Jews and we have a lot of Greeks. We have a lot of people that are compiling the Lord's church as the church is growing. And as the church grows, there are problems. There are things that need to be faced. And one of the things that is going on here is that we have widows that are being neglected. Anytime the church grows, there's going to be growing pains. And there's good problems to have, certainly bad problems to have. I like to give the elders good problems if I can. I like to give them good problems. There are good problems out there. Growing is a good problem to have. You know, there are bad problems. Problems have to be sorted out. But we're going to see how the New Testament church deals with problems. How these Christians sorted out the problems which they had. So there's always going to be problems. And we have here a complaint that arises and something that needs to be addressed, the neglect. And certainly sometimes the Lord's church, sometimes things are neglected. I think it'd be good to acknowledge from time to time the church is not perfect. We're made up of Christians trying to be the best that we can be. But from time to time, there's perhaps things that we neglect that should not be neglected. There's things that we lose our focus on, and sometimes we need redirected. Perhaps we haven't focused on evangelism the way that we should, and we should redirect. And really, much of the Bible is trying to keep us on that straight and narrow path, and a lot of that is redirecting. And I think that's what we have here. Because I don't think when we start to look at what has happened here, I think once the problem's addressed, everybody's like, you know what? I think that this needs to be addressed. But sometimes we don't always see all the problems. We don't always see what's being neglected. We need to do the best that we can to solve these things. And I think what we start to see in these first few verses, it says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Certainly we see this idea of neglect that has happened, but I think we start to see this idea of delegation that is going to start happening. Is that the Lord's church, as it's growing, the Lord's church and all the responsibilities of the Lord's church cannot just fall on a few individuals. I think the apostles understood this. Is the Lord's church needs to handle problems together. The Lord's church needs to handle problems together. The problem is brought up in Acts chapter 6, and then what do? They say, let's get together and let's try to figure this out together. Let's try to figure this out together. Because if you just put it on the apostles' plate, you know what's going to happen? We are going to fail. If we take the work of the Lord's church, there's many works of the Lord's church. There's edification. Certainly there's evangelism. Certainly there's benevolence. There's a lot of works of the Lord's church. And there's physical work of the Lord's church and there's spiritual work of the Lord's church. And you know what I see there in Acts chapter 6? Let's do this together. And I think the apostles are almost admitting it. They say, if you put this all on just a few, we will fail. And I think that is a good observation and one that the Lord's church has to reflect on from time to time. If the Lord's church ever gets top heavy, if you will, if the Lord's church starts focusing on just a few individuals, the church will fail. The apostles understood this. Great, inspired men, individuals that had miracles, had these abilities that God had gifted them with to confirm the word. These individuals are saying, you know what? We need to distribute the load. You know, we see this in other places in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses, his father-in-law comes to town. You know, sometimes father-in-laws have good advice. You know, sometimes father-in-laws have good advice. And in Exodus chapter 18, Moses is working there. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 and following, and let's see the advice that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, gives him. It says, "Now it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his law.' So Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good. Both you and the people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes of the law, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such them over to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens.'" We see Jethro is kind of watching Moses, and we see that Moses is just kind of touching everything. He's touching every single thing. Everything is coming to Moses, and Jethro says, "You're going to wear yourself out. You know what needs to happen? There needs to be some distribution among the children of Israel." And I think this same principle is what we see in Acts chapter 6. Is that in order to be successful, in order for the Lord's church, in order for a congregation of Christ to be fully functional, to do that which the congregation should do for the cause of Christ, the load has to be distributed. And what's the beautiful thing about the Lord's church is we all have diverse talents and abilities. We all have diverse talents and abilities, and we can all serve in different areas. Some of us will serve in physical areas. Some of us will serve in more spiritual areas. But together, unified, we can accomplish what God needs and wants us to do. Isn't that what we see in Acts chapter 6? Don't we see the acknowledgement that when we put this on one or when we put this on few, it is not the way that it should be done? Now, when you preach like this, people immediately start connecting and looking at me and saying, "Well, are you preaching, you know, to yourself?" I feel very good here at Sandyville. I am so thankful for the elders and their support. I'm so thankful for the deacons and their support. And I'm so thankful for individual Christians. I'm thankful for Shannon and Jody. Like I said, I did not touch that. That was something that they really pushed with the elders, and it manifested. But this principle in Acts chapter 6 is important. And it cannot be forgotten, because what we see is that the church, when this load is distributed, we see that the church is more successful. This church will reach more people when the load is distributed. And I think we see it in Exodus chapter 18, and I think that's what we have unfolding here in Acts chapter 6. There's a problem. We'll solve it in-house. We'll solve it right here at Sandyville. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have people from the outside help every once in a while, but let me tell you this. I don't know about you, but I haven't found a system where we ship in elders from another place. Well, they got some good elders. Let's give them here. No, we need to grow our elders right here at Sandyville. Well, they got some good deacons over there. Let's give them in here. No. We'll develop deacons right here. We'll develop good deacons and good deacons' wives, and we'll develop good future elders and good future elders' wives. That's what we'll do here at Sandyville together. They said, let's look among ourselves. We have some problems here at Sandyville, certainly. There's no problems without problems. But when we find a problem, can we look to ourselves and say, what can we do? What can we do to solve this? What can we do to work together to make sure this works? Another interesting thing about this observation is that it seems like this complaint kind of comes from the ground up. And when the leaders are aware of it, I think the leaders start to make moves to try to solve the problem. No matter how good we have as leaders, you know, sometimes leaders do have blind spots. I think that might have been what happened at right here, is that the leaders are really focused on the spiritual and trying to get the word out, and then what happens is the widows are forgotten about. And they say, hey, you know that the widows are being forgotten about, and they say, you know what? You're right. We need to sort this out. How are we going to sort this out? We're going to sort it out here. The Lord's church here is going to sort this out. We're going to make sure that it is taken care of. And I think we have good elders here that are open. I've certainly been open with the elders about things, and the elders are like, yeah, that's a good thing. I think we have very good supportive elders here that are very open. Very open. But you need to understand this. You bring a complaint, which is fine. You got a legitimate complaint coming up here. Just understand, you might be part of the solution. Some people might not want to hear that, or they might want to try to push that over the side. We're not against complaints. We're not against problems. But understand, when those problems come, they might be looking at you and saying, what can you do to help? Because that's what happens here in Acts chapter 6, is that we've got a complaint that comes up, and the apostles say, you know what? Our plate's kind of full. We're trying to preach the word. Maybe we can look internally and we can solve this problem. And that's what the Lord's church should do. We've got to look within and say, can we find 7 good men? Can we find 7 good women? Can we find good people here at Sandyville? I believe we can. You know why? Because we've done things here at Sandyville to address problems. I'm not trying to talk bad or anything, but when we came, you know, our Bible classes were wanting. I'll just leave it at that. But you know what? When the elders put out the call, and we started that with Denny kind of leading that, we filled all those classrooms, and we had rotating teachers about every 3 months. That's a beautiful and wonderful thing. No one person can teach all those classes. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Not one person can teach all those classes, but together as a family, we can teach those classes. And we can give the youth of the congregation, our young people, the Bible that they need to be successful in life. Give them that spiritual nourishment on their level so that they can be successful spiritually as the years go on. What a beautiful thing it is when Sandyville came together to fill those classes. What a beautiful thing it is when we get together and we say, there's a problem, let's solve it together. We can't solve it with just a few. We need many. And certainly I think that's what we see here. We've got a problem, and they're going to try to address it. Let's continue on the passage. We've got the problem of neglected widows, and we start seeing the solution to the problem. They're calling these individuals together. So let's continue in verse 3 and 4. We're going to see God's business. It says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There's going to be problems in the church. There's no doubt about that. But when those problems arise and they come to attention, certainly solutions are going to try to be sought. I think a legitimate concern has been brought up, and they are in search for a solution. But where are they looking for the solution? Right within the church. Right within the church. You understand that you could be a solution to some of our problems here at Sandyville. But a lot of times what happens is we start pointing at other people and we won't look to ourselves and say, you know what, I could help with that. You know what, I think that we're kind of lacking in this area. I think we need to do better in this area. You can help. You know, I think we're struggling in this area. You can help. And I mean that sincerely, not sarcastically or anything like that. If I really mean that, is if you see a problem, you're kind of attuned to that problem. You're trying to tend that problem. You've kind of thought about that problem. You've considered that problem. And you know what? You might be able to help solve that problem. It says, let's look from among us. Let's look from among us and try to find 7 good individuals that can help us. I believe we have those individuals at Sandyville because as problems have arisen and the elders have approached individuals, people are saying, yeah. And you need to know, as we're trying to grow here at Sandyville, that the elders might reach out. You know what might even be better is if you reach out to the elders and say, elders, I know you need at the end of the month. If you ever need something this area, I'd love to help. Wouldn't it be great if the elders had a list of individuals that can help in certain areas? Hey, I'm not the best in all areas, but I can help you in this area. I can help you in this area. If you ever need this, I can help you in this area. That way, when the elders are dealing with problems, as problems come in, they can go, you know what? I've got somebody that can help us with that. I can help. I have somebody that said that they'd be willing to visit somebody. You know, I have somebody that said that they'd be willing to go out with Kyle and study with someone. Because we have some opportunities right now. And I'm encouraged. I think we've got some positive momentum here at Sandyville. I've got 2 potential studies right now and maybe a call this week. Positive momentum. Good things here at Sandyville. And we will be better and stronger together. And that's what we're seeing here. The solution is not in some distant land, in some far-off place. It's right here. It's at home. It's right here at Sandyville. The brothers and sisters that make up the congregation here can rise up just like these 7 men and say, you know what, I can help. And certainly express that to our elders as they're trying to deal with problems and solve problems. Certainly we all have different gifts and abilities, but we can fill these areas. We can fill each other's voids. A look for good men. A look for good women. That's what they're doing in verses 3 and 4. Says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business, over this business. You ever thought about that? The church has got some business. The church has got some business. Are you involved in the Lord's business? When you say, I show up on Sunday, I show up on Sunday, you know, I show up on Wednesday. Are you about the Lord's business? You know, Jesus was. Jesus was about the Lord's business. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? You know that the church here at Sandyville has got some business. We've got some business to take care of. We've got some physical business that needs to be taken care of. We've got some spiritual business to take care of. And you know what? We need you. We need you desperately. Because as we see in Acts chapter 6, this is not going to be accomplished by one. It's not going to be accomplished by a few. It's going to be accomplished by the family of God. And when we're about God's business, I believe we'll grow. We say, look, Kyle, the soil is rough. The soil is hard. The soil, yeah, I understand the soil can be rough. But you know what? You go back and look at when the church was founded, I wouldn't say that that was the most favorable soil. But you know what I do know? They were about the Lord's business. They were about the Lord's business. If there was physical work that needed to be done in relation to the Lord, they made sure it got done. If there was spiritual work in relation to the Lord, they made sure that it got done. They were about the Lord's business. Are you about God's business? Are you about the Lord's business? Certainly we're supposed to work at our jobs. We're supposed to be dependable. We're supposed to provide for our families. Those are Bible, biblical ideas. We know you're showing up to work. We show up to the Lord's business. We show up to the Lord's business. Because that we need some people over this business. There's some business here at Sandyville. There's some weak areas. There's some areas that we need some work. So we depend on you to be about the Lord's business. If our Christianity is just Sunday, we're in trouble. I think you might be in trouble, but I think we collectively are in trouble because we need your help. We need to be about the Lord's business. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Kyle, you misread that. It says, take up your cross on Sunday and Wednesday and follow me. No, it says daily. The Lord's business, physically and spiritually, there's work to do. And he needs you. Because it is so very clear that the church cannot be successful with just a few. In terms of, when we're talking about a congregation, for a congregation to flourish, we need each and every one. Each and every one can help the Lord's church in some way. We need you. Certainly God can accomplish great things with a few. It's all a matter of perspective. Really, in perspective of Jackson County, we're a small group. We can accomplish a whole lot for the Lord. We can accomplish a whole lot for the Lord here in Jackson County. There's a whole lot that we can do. But we need you. We need you. We need you to visit and encourage. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wait. What's pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows? I've got a question. When's the last time you visited someone? You understand that that cannot be accomplished by a few. We need a lot. We need a lot. And you can slap that on my title if you want, but I can tell you this. There's only one title I really care about, and it's Christian. And Christians should visit. Could you visit someone this month? If everyone in Sandyville visits someone this month, you probably have people when you call them say, you know what, I've had a lot of visits this month. I'm good for a little while. But there's some people here at Sandyville that want to be visited. You know that? There's some people here at Sandyville that want to be visited. I think it's a Christian thing. It's something that we should think about. The apostles knew that they would fail if they were ignoring both of these things. Now that's interesting. When you look at these individuals, you think that these individuals were against visiting people? I don't think they were against visiting people at all. In fact, I believe they probably took opportunities to visit. But I think what we see in Acts chapter 6 is this idea that the church cannot function with just a few individuals. It's got to be a family, a group that says we are going to be a family, the family that the Bible wants us to be. We will do things that the Bible tells us to do, and we will do the best we can. We will fail here as a family at Sandyville if we don't all stand up and say what needs to be done. We certainly won't be as effective as we should. You know, you think about that, the Lord's business. You might not have thought about it that way. Perhaps we're good at our secular business. We've got a lot of individuals here that are talented, and I sincerely mean that. We have some people here at Sandyville that are talented when it comes to business. Business management, being a good worker within a business, accounting. We've got a lot of good business people. We have people good at the Lord's business. We need it. We've got a lot of good things going here at Sandyville. If you want to get involved, there's certainly opportunities. There's no doubt. We've got the women's group that meets every month. They're doing some great things. We've got the car group. They have meals that are going out. Very good work. Very good work. We've got the elders meeting that happens at the end of the month. If you've got a concern or you've got a thought, certainly you can throw it their direction. We talk about things every month. And you know what? Don't be afraid. If you bring something up, you might be part of the solution. And that's not to discourage. It really isn't. But to really say that an elder needs to do elder's work and deacon's work. I know our elders would be willing to do deacon's work any day of the week. But you know what? When our elders are doing deacon's work, what happens is kind of some of the elders' work goes to the side. It's not that our elders don't want to do deacon's work. They've done deacon's work. And they'll do it again. They'll do it again. Because I've seen it time and time again. Together as a family, we can accomplish so much. We can do so much. There's something special here at Sandyville. I think people can feel it when they walk in the door. When we have visitors come here, when we have people come here, there's something special here at Sandyville. There is a lot that can be accomplished. And we can accomplish it when we face problems as they did in the New Testament church, as they look out from among themselves and say, how can we solve this together? How can we do this together? And certainly I think that's what we see. What's your part here at Sandyville? Well, I show up. You think that's what God's looking for? Take me out of the equation. Take the elders out of the equation. You think that's what God's looking for? You think that's what God is looking for? Is that what God wants? There's problems, and we can address them. We can address them together. What's your part here at Sandyville? Do you encourage? Do you write cards? Do you pray? Do you visit? Are you a Bible class teacher? Are you an organizer? Do you make meals? There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of things in the Lord's church. A lot of things. We don't have to do the same thing. And I'm thankful for people that can do work that I'm not talented in. We're a beautiful unit together. You don't want me cooking food. I can deliver a meal, but you don't want me cooking. You don't want me cooking. There's somebody here that can cook and lighten up someone's day. It doesn't always have to be when someone's in need. We're supposed to be a hospitable people. I love the supper club. Now, I will say, I try not to take my kids to the supper club because that house would be a mess. A disaster. That's a good thing. You know, those things are good things. We can get together, talk, study, have discussion, fellowship. Good time. Good thing. What is the result? What happens? We've got a problem in the New Testament church. We see that they look internally to solve the problem. What is the result? What happens when the Lord's church deals with problems in this way? They look at it internally and say, what can we do? As we continue on in the passage, I'll start in verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5, it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and then it rattles off the names there, and it says 6, whom they set before the apostles, and they laid hands on them. I think that's just approval. Verse 7, it says, Then the word of the Lord spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we've got a problem. We see the church coming together and saying, you know what, we need to distribute this because nothing can be accomplished with just a few. We've got to do this together. It pleases the group. And then in verse 7, we see the result. What happened? What happened? Verse 7, it says, when the word of the Lord spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The church went on being successful because they dealt with problems. The church in the New Testament was successful. Our brothers and sisters in Christ were successful when they dealt with problems. They were successful when they dealt with problems together. When they dealt with problems together, they were more successful. And what happens in verse 7? It says the word of God spread. And the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You know, reading that, it always struck me. It says, many of the priests were obedient to the faith. What would be our equivalent to that today? I think denominational preachers or preachers of other religions. When the church took care of business, the word spread. When the church took care of business, they were multiplying to such a degree that they were converting people of other religions, other groups, and saying, hey, the church is very special when it takes care of the Lord's business. You know, this might not be 100% accurate, but I think it might be the case. If we don't take care of our widows the way that the Bible says, I don't know if the church will grow the way that it should. You know, I don't know if we don't take care of the Lord's business, physical or spiritual, I don't know if we'll grow. And when I think about that, there's only one way we're going to take down and accomplish the Lord's business is together. It cannot be accomplished with individuals. In terms of just one individual or a few individuals on an island, it has to be together. We see the church in the New Testament, they got to work. And when they got to work, that God's word spread, individuals were being taken care of on a physical level, but not only were they being taken care of on a physical level, but the spiritual needs are also being taken care of as well. Can we find our 7 here at Sandyville? I believe we can. But I think this is the question I ask myself. If everybody sacrificed the way that I sacrificed, what would Sandyville look like? If everyone visited the way that Kyle visits, what would Sandyville look like? If everyone gave the way that Kyle gave, what would Sandyville look like? If everyone served the way that Kyle served, what would Sandyville look like? That question's for you. Now what's beautiful is that we don't have to be an expert in all areas. Is that I got a brother or sister over here who will fill my void. But I can certainly be better. I can be better. And certainly when we look at the New Testament church, they have a problem. They say, we're going to solve this together. And they work on those things together. When they're about God's business, we see that the church flourishes. I think we see a few lessons there in Acts chapter 6. I think we see a lesson of priorities. I think we can spot that there. I think in chapter 6, we see the idea of a unified team that faced problems together, and we can do that here at Sandyville. When we see a whole congregation involved in the Lord's business, God's word will spread, I believe disciples will multiply, and great things will be accomplished. We can do this together. There's no doubt in my mind. I've already got to see it on a few occasions. It's just keeping the train on the track, and we're starting to get momentum now. Oh, I believe that. We're starting to get momentum here at Sandyville. I don't know if you can feel it, but I can feel it, because I can see it. Because I don't go by feelings a whole lot. I go by what I see, and I'm seeing some momentum here at Sandyville. And it makes me happy to see momentum. And you know what? You can be part of that momentum. We need you desperately to keep the train on the track and to keep it moving in the right direction. You know, are we about Jesus' mission to seek and save that which is lost? Certainly we should. And accomplish all the things that we can do as we're here on this earth. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. In Acts chapter 2, the individuals we see in Acts chapter 6, we see that they are baptized for remission of sin. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can this morning to become as we stand as we sing.